So we're here on Daf Tezayin Omid Beis, and we're almost up to the Mishnah, but not quite. We still have a bit of a fill-in, so to speak, to fill in order to start the Mishnah. And we have to resolve a problem that the Gemara raises on the top of Tezayin Amud Beis and the bottom of Tezayin Amud Aleph with regard to a brisa. And that's the famous brisa of the Shlosha Midos, right? We have the three categories and regulations with regard to a mechitza. And we found a bit of a problem, a glitch, so to speak, a contradiction, lechora, between the Reisha and the Seifa in Shalosh Midos. Why? Because the question is, what's the key number here? What's the key size in terms of Tfachim? Is it going to be Shlosha Tfachim, or is it going to be Arba Tfachim? And that very abstract question, up in the air, is relevant to two different halachas. One halacha is called lavud, which means that you can close up a distance, an open space, between two closed, solid substances. And here we have machlokes, what's the magic number? Is it three or is it four? The Rabbanan hold three tefachim is enough of a significance to consider it lavud. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says no, it's got to be four tefachim. Anything less than four tefachim is lavud. So the significance here, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, is on the number four. Now there's a second issue that also depends upon this question of the chashivus, the significance of either the number three or four. And that's a halacha that we learned in the brisa of Shalosh Midos with regard to Kelayim. And that was a case where what we had was a mechitza that's meant to separate Zroim from Geffen and allow you to plant these Zroim very close, in close proximity to the Geffen, as long as there's a mechitza in between. And his mechitza was Paritz Meruba Ala Omid, which meant that the mechitza would not be valid. And yet, the Brisa establishes, which was the third of the three midos, that kol shu arba, that if this standing part of the mechitza, forget about the paritz part that's open, is four tefachim, then we have halacha of keneged ha'omed mutter. And keneged ha'omed mutter means that on the two sides of this four tefachim partial mechitza, we're allowed to plant Zroim on this side and Geffen on the other side. Meaning that we're going to treat the four tefachim of Omed as if it were a mechitza unto itself to accomplish that goal of Heter Kelayim, despite the fact that if we talk about the mechitza going all around the Geffen, it's Paritz Merubala Omed. And the very fact that the Brisa puts all the significance on the number four tefachim, that indicates that this Brisa is reflecting the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who holds that four tefachim is chashivus. So how do we reconcile this? Because the Reisha of this Brisa says that lavud depends upon three tefachim. And that when you have a machitza, let's say an omed that's less than three tefachim, you have to guarantee that between that omed and the next omed, there's no airspace of three tefachim. But if it's, let's say, 2.9 tefachim, then that you're okay because we're going to apply lavud. Well, that's against Rav Shimon Gamliel. So that's what the Gemara says here on the bottom of Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph. Just to review, that the Reisha of this Brisa of Shalosh Midos reflects the Shita of Rabbanon, whereas the Seifa, now we're turning to the top of Tezayin Amud Beis, Asan L'Rav Shimon Gamliel, D'Yomer Pachos Me'ar Ba'al Lavud. So just like Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that if you have an airspace that's less than four tefachim, then it's considered sasum. In other words, we're going to apply the principle of lavud. I'm just going to reiterate that beer that we mentioned yesterday. That Rav Shimon Gamliel sover shekol chalal she'ein bo arba tefachim eino chashuv. Right? At what point do we get such a significant space, airspace, that we can no longer consider it closed up? It's like mamish open. That's when you hit four tefachim. So too, if you have a mechitza that's less than four tefachim, it's not chashuv, but if it hits four tefachim, it becomes chashuv, and that mechitza chashuva is going to permit you to be planting the vine and the zroim on two sides of that four tefachim wide mechitza. De'i Rabbanan, if the Seifa, like the Reisha, reflects the Shita of the Chachamim, is then we have to rewrite the Braisa. The Braisa shouldn't have said Arba, right? It shouldn't have said, let's read the Braisa, Me'arba Tfachim Ad Eser Amos. It should have said Mishlosha, once it hits three. Because once it hits three, it already gets a certain chashivas to it, such that you can no longer apply lavud. Amar Abaye, Reisha Rabbanan, Sefer Nami Rabbanan. Let's start the Braisa and read it in sequence. And the Reisha, in the case of lavud, clearly reflects the Shita of the Rabbanan. And the magic number is three. Is Sefer Nami Rabbanan. Nu, if the Sefer is Rabbanan, so why is this Mechitza four tefachim? Modu Rabbanan, Techol L'Mishra Kenegdo, Iika Mokom Arba Choshev, Ilo Lo Choshev. Yes, there is a certain chashivus to three tefachim, but the Rabbanan agree to Rav Shimon Gamliel that if your purpose of mechitza is to set up a real mechitza with the chashivas to be matir kilayim, well, for that we have to up the ante a little bit, and we need, it's not sufficient to have a mechitza that's three tefachim, we need a mechitza of four tefachim. If it's less than four tefachim, it doesn't have that extra chashivas to be matir zrias kilayim mishnei tzdadel. So the chachamim are of the opinion that we're going to make a distinction between the law of lavud and the law of a mechitza, which is matir kenegda. With regard to lavud, once you have an open space of three tefachim, that has a chashivus, and that removes the status of lavud. Right? It's open as opposed to closed, as we said before. But as far as mechitza, to be matir azriya kenegda, the Rabbanan agree that you need a mechitza that has the minimum width of four tefachim. Rava says no. Let's not start from the top of the Braisa, but rather from the bottom of the Braisa. And me, the Sefer Rav Shimon Gamliel, and the Chashivus of a Mechitza depends upon the number four Tvachim, is Reisha Nami Rav Shimon Gamliel. Let's interpret the Reisha in the light of Rav Shimon Gamliel as well. And basically, Rava now has sort of a vested interest, if you will. He's conceptually, convinced that there are two different dinim of lavud, and we mistakenly interpret this braisa in the light of Rav Shimon Gamliel's universal principle of love. But no. Let's not get carried away. The principle of Rav Shimon Gamliel in Lovud is a limited principle. How so? That even Rav Shimon Gamliel will admit in the Reisha, we're not going to apply Lovud. I'm sorry. We're not going to apply Lovud if it's, let's say, 3.9 Tfachim. We'll only apply Lovud if it's 2.9 Tfachim, meaning anything less than 3 Tfachim. V'chi amar Rav Shimon Gamliel amrinan Lovud. When does Rav Shimon Gamliel say that even if it's beyond 3 Tfachim, up to 4 Tfachim, we still apply the principle of Lovud? Hani mili, that's only Lamala. That's only when you have space up on top. Like, for example, we spoke back on Daf Tes Amud Aleph about Rav Shimon Gamliel in the case of the koros of a mavui. Right? You have a korah beam that comes from the right side of the kosel and another korah of the beam that comes out from the left side of the kosel, and they're not touching each other. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if there's less than 4 tefachim space between the two koros, then we see it as lovud, as if it's one continuous korah. That's called lemala, otherwise known in Hebrew as gavoa, up on top. Ava lemata. But if you're talking about airspace down on the karka, then Rav Shimon Gamliel admits that the Rabbanan are right, and even if you have an avir of shlosha tfachim, that is enough to undermine and to invalidate the mechitza, and you can no longer say lovud because it's already 3 tfachim of airspace. V'havi lei kimechitza shagidoyim bokimba, because with regard to lovud on the bottom, we have an additional variable that generates lovud, or shall I say, undermines lovud and invalidates lovud, and that's called gedim bokimba. That this mechitza does not have the staying power, if you will, to prevent the small goats from breaking in through this airspace, this open area. And lo amrinan lovud, we're not going to say and apply lovud in a case of mechitza shagedoyim bokimba. If you're talking lamala, that is love of the fort, Tfachim Koyter of Shimon Gamliel, because we don't have an issue of Gedoyim Bokimba. But if you're talking Lamata, so you're structuring a Mechitza from the ground and up, and it's got airspace to the left until you connect it with the rest of the Mechitza, now, in order to set up Lovud, even Rav Shimon Gamliel requires that it be less than 3 Tfachim. Why? Because once it's more than 3 Tfachim, then Gedim Bokimba, and that's going to upset the status of the Mechitza. Brilliant Chidush here of Rava. I mean, this is what I call a brisker Chidush. There's a relativity theory about Lovud. When does Rav Shimon Gamliel apply Lovud as much as 4 Tfachim? That's only Lamala. But Lamata, when we have a problem of Gedi and Bokimba, then even Rav Shimon Gamliel says that as long as you have an airspace of 3 Tfachim, that's enough for the Gedi to break through. Toshma. Now the Gemara has another Braisa, which is going to contradict the Shita of Rav Papa about Poritz Ke'ome Domi. Because Rav Papa says, Paritz ka-omed, if the Paritz and the Omed are 50-50, then it's kosher. And you can rely on that Mechitza to be Matir Kelayim, or to be Matir carrying in a Mavui. Toshma, we have a Braisa. The Braisa says, Defanos halalu. If you set up various kinds of Defanos, walls, Sheruban Psachim Vechalonos. You may recall that we once had a diagram of this where he's got mechitzos, but he punches out, so to speak, or punches in openings and windows you know, throughout this dofen. And it turns out that in this wall, most of what you have are these psachim, these entranceways, and these windows. And the Brisa says that mutar, to our surprise, the mechitza is reliable, even though it's rov, psachim v'chalonos. So how is that possible? So the Brisa qualifies. Ubilvad sheyehei omed meruba al haparutz. As long as there's more of the dofen that's up and standing, than the openings of all these many, many multiple windows and entranceways that you made. So the Gemara says, Sheruban Salka Daitoch, are you telling me that most of the dofen is in this last case of the Brisa, where you invalidate the Mechitza? Is it a case where Rov of the Shetach is entranceways and openings, and therefore it's called Paritz Meruba La Omed? So when the Brisa says Ubilvad Shehei Omed Meruba La Paritz, what does the Brisa have in mind? Ella, but rather, these defanos Riba Bahen Psachim V'Chalonos. It can't be Rov, because then if it's Rov, how could the Brisa then qualify and say, okay, we'll rely on this case where it's Rov, Psachim, and Chalonos, because it's Omed Merubah Laparutz. You can't have Rov of Psachim and Chalonos and then turn around and call it and classify it as Omed Merubah Laparutz. So therefore, we're going to have to reinterpret the word Ruban, where the word Ruban in this Brisa means Riba Behen. In other words, he punches out many, many windows and open and entranceways. Psachim Chalonos, Mutar. Why? Even though there are many, many openings, but nevertheless, Bilvad Sheyehei Omed Merubala Paritz. Now, according to Rapapa, the Brisa didn't have to go so far and formulate a condition that it's Omed Meruba. The Brisa could have just said it's Omed Kiparitz. And the implication here is that Ha Kiparitz Asur, that you would not rely on these Defanos to be Matir based on its status as a mechitza, if the openings and the omed were equal. Is tiufta derav papa tiufta. We finally found at the end of this long sugya a brisa that clearly contradicts Rav Papa. But nevertheless, hilchasa kavase derav papa. Now, in one breath, you say tiufta, which means we've upschlugged Rav Papa, and then you say we paskin like Rav Papa. So Gemara says, tiufta v'hilchasa. You can't say it's a tiufta against Rav Papa and then say it's hilchasa. And the answer is, mishum didaiko masnisen kavase. Because our Mishnah back on Tesvavam and Beis would seem to reflect the Shita of Rav Papa. Disnan, v'lo yu pratzos yeseros ala binyan. That in order to pasul this mechitza, you have pratzos, you have openings which are greater in size. They exceed beyond the binyan, the part that's standing. Hakim binyan, obviously implying that if the pratzos were the same exact size as the binyan, mutar, then would rely on these mechitzos. Why? Because parutz ke'omed is mutar. So even though you're right that this brisa reflects the shita of Rav Huna against Rav Papa, but nevertheless, since the mission itself reflects the shita of Rav Papa, therefore we can paskin like Rav Papa. All right, now we start the new Mishnah here on Tezayin Amid Beis. This Mishnah continues to talk about that case that we spoke about called Chania Bibika. You remember you had a group of people that were traveling and they found themselves in a bika, some sort of very open area, and they wanted to be able to carry on Shabbos within that open area. And they surrounded the area with all sorts of different things, like camels and packages and food stuff, if you remember. So now the Mishnah gives us more possibilities for the travelers, you know, this caravan, to surround their chanoya, their encampment, in a way that would allow them to carry within the machne, within the chanoya. So the Braisa says, Makifim bishlosha chavolim. In other words, what they're allowed to do is they're allowed to set up two poles, vertical poles, on each side, of the encampment, and then after setting up these two poles, they can stretch ropes across these two poles, attaching them horizontally to these two poles, and they need a minimum of three ropes. So you've got three ropes across. Zelamalamizeh, one on top of the other, and the second one, and the third is on top of the second. Ubilvad Shaloyehe ben Chevel lechavero shlosha tfachim. So you have 2.9 tfachim of airspace between one rope and the other, and this allows us to apply the principle of lavud and you're allowed now to carry within this area because the area is now surrounded by mechitzos. Now, I'm thinking out loud here, would this Mishnah reflect the shita of the Chachamim against Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? So let me read to you. No. This note is premature. Let me just think out loud, and hopefully we'll see what the Mefarshim say here. I'm just thinking out loud that this should be a case of Lamata. Am I right? Because this is attached to the ground, which would mean that the Gedeim, if you gave them an opening between one Chevel and the other, they would go headstrong within that opening. And therefore, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, even if the opening was 3 Tvachim, as long as it was less than 4 Tvachim, it still would be Mutter. We'll see if I'm right. I'm just giving you my, you know, shooting from the hip, as they say.
Does Rav Shimon Gamliel say the 4 is only above 10 Tvachim?
Okay, so that's a good point. We didn't even talk about the height of these 3 Chavolim, or for that matter, the Amudim. Now, every Mechitza, as we've discussed on many occasions, has to have the minimum height of 10 Tvachim. So that what we're talking about here is the Amudim, right, that are holding on to these ropes, must have a height of 10 Tvachim. So in that sense, one could argue that the top Chevel of the three, the highest one up, is at a height of 10 Tvachim, and that might be called Lamala. But I still think that it's not like the case of the Korah, where Rav Shimon Gamliel was attaching two Koros Lamala. Here, what we want to do through Lavud is to be so same to attach the two Chavolim. So you're really going from the 10 Tfachim down, and once again down, and it could very well be that Rav Shimon Gamliel would argue for Tfachim here, because, you know, Lavud applies to 3.9 Tfachim. Now, what's the shear of the Chevel, each one of these Chavolim? So it says, Ovyon Yeser al Tefach, with a thickness of the rope would have to be a minimum of a tefach. And why is that? Kidei sheyehe hakol asara tefachim. What does that mean? That if you calculate the distance, what we're going to calculate by adding two factors, right? Two variables. In order, our goal is to guarantee that the three chavolim are positioned in a way that the top chevel reaches 10 tvachim. As we said before, the amudim are a minimum of 10 tvachim height. Now, we have an airspace of less than 3 tvachim between each one of the chavolim. So we're going to add the thickness of the chevel to the chalal, the airspace between them, in order to set up a kosher mechitza, which is asar tefach, which is 10 tefachim high. So now, let's just think how we do this. Let's take the case of the Mishnah. Each one of the ropes is a tefach. Correct? So now, you've got up to 10 tefachim, 3 tefachim that are covered by the ropes. Now, what's the distance between the lowest and the next to the lowest? So let's call that 3 tefachim. Again, I'm rounding it off. And then from the second to the top one is another 3 tefachim. Now we have to ask ourselves a different question about the airspace between the ground and the lowest chevel. Okay, let's say there's no airspace. So we've got 3 and 3, and now we add the 3 tefachim of the ropes. So that adds up to 9. So how do we get 10? Let me just read to you the the English translation. He says that the size of the ropes must be such that their combined thickness I thought that each rope was a tefach. Let's just see how he knows that. Ovyam, he's learning that ovyam means not the thickness of the rope, but the thickness of the combination of all the ropes together. Now let's see, if we take out the word ovyam, let's read it differently. Shir hachavolim yeser al tefach. See, if you take out the word ovyam, then it makes a lot more sense. Let's see, number 11 here. Does he take out the word ovyon? No. All right. Anyway, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm jumping the gun here. But in any event, the combined thickness of the three ropes is 1 tefach. So that means, like I said intuitively, that the distance between the ground and the first rope is going to be 3 tefachim. Right, always minus a mashu, but and then 3 tefachim and then 3 tefachim, so we're up to the height of 9 tefachim. If the combined thickness of the ropes is 1 tefach, so now we reach the 10 tefachim height. I'll just see if he adds anything else. So that's just about, that's about all we need over here. Okay, fine.
Actually, Rabbi,
he has a diagram here. Wait, can you give me one more minute? I'm sorry. I just want to take a look at the diagram, just to make sure. He says, each of the three gaps is less than 3 tefachim. Now, their combined height, therefore, is less than 9 tefachim. Now, the combined thickness of the rope is more than 1 tefach. He's adding another element to the equation. Wow, it just says, because it says, yes, al tefach. Okay, fine. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, Don. I missed that point about yes, Sarah Altef.
I was going to add that. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to juggle everything here. Okay. Now we get to the second part of this mission. Okay. Now, makifim bekanim. Right, now we have another scenario in which instead of using chavolim going horizontal, he's got reeds that are standing vertically, one next to each other, and he surrounds the entire chanoya with these reeds, with these kanim. And obviously the kanim have to reach a height of 10 tefachim, but does he have to guarantee a maximum airspace between one reed and the next? Once again, we want to guarantee lovud, that you have a continuous mechitza that surrounds this area. And that means that the distance, the airspace between one reed and the one to its left has to be less than 3 tefachim. Now it's interesting. The difference between the first case of chavolim and the second case of kanim, where the chavolim are going horizontal and the kanim are going vertical, is like, if I can give a mashal, is like the difference between, in the case of weaving, the shasi and the erev. Now I don't know if we've got a chance to talk about that here in Masechta Erevin, but in Masechta Shabbos, when you learn the laws of Meleches Oreg, of weaving, this becomes very, very relevant. And basically it works like this, that when you weave something, so first thing you have to set up a koved, pardon the use of that word, koved ha'elyon, koved ha'tachton, which are sort of rollers that go on top and on the bottom. And what you do is you tie threads by stretching them from the bottom roller all the way up to the top roller and around. And that is called shasi. And those are going vertical. And then to start the weaving process, you introduce something called erev. And that is the horizontal thread. It might even be just one thread, and that goes weaving inside the shasi. So that, getting back to our Mishnah, in these two cases of mechitzos, the last case, which is the mechitzos that are vertical, that would be called a mechitza of shasi, if you wanted to use a word for vertical. Whereas the mechitza in the reisha of the Mishnah, which is the chavolim that are going horizontal, that's the mechitza of erev, which goes horizontal. Okay, now the Mishnah records a machlokas tanoim about who is making this mechitza. No, I shouldn't say who's making the mechitza, but for whom is the mechitza meaningful, whether it's chavolim or kanim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the first Tana, he says that that's called Shayara, B'Shayara. So you have a group of three people that are traveling in a caravan, and we're going to allow them these two alternative possible Hekef Mechitzos. One, we called it a Shasi, and the other we called Erev. However, says Rabbi Yehuda, that if you don't have a shayara, for example, let's say you have one person or maybe two people, that's not called a shayara. And in such a case, you have to make a complete mechitza. Total mechitza, it's got to be closed off, you know, without these lovers going this way or lovers going that way. Chachomim omrim, v'lo dibru b'shayara el bahove. That if you ever see the word Shayara, like for example, if you go back to the first Mishnah that we had, and there it says Makifin es Shayara, so the word Shayara is just a borrowed term. Generally speaking, you know, when do you find a need for people who are camping out to set up Hekev Mechitzah so they're allowed to carry within that Hekev? That's for a Shayara. That's called Hove. Hove means a common situation. But Al Pidin, we don't need a Shayara. There's no such thing as a Chalushem, a legal halachic category called a Shayara. Even one individual could rely on any of these options to set up a Mechitzah Shel Shesi or Shel Erev. Now the Mishnah has a third opinion. Kol Mechitzah She'eino Shel Shesi V'Shel Erev Eino Mechitzah. Divrei Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Yehuda V'Chachomim Omrim Echad Mishnei Dvarim. So let's talk about the more intuitive opinion here. That's the Chachomim. We have two alternatives. Whether it's only for Shayara, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Chacham, even for an individual, a Yachid, but there are two alternative Mechitzos here. There's one called the Mechitzah Shel Erev, which is the Mechitzah of Chavolim, and then we have the Mechitzah Shel Shesi, which is the Mechitzah of Kanin. And either Mechitzah is a valid Mechitzah. So you have two options. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, he holds that we're going to be Mekil in the case of a Shayara, but only if we have Shesi. Just one second. I'm sorry. No. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is rejecting Rabbi Yehuda, and he's saying the following, that if you only have a Shesi, or you only have an Erev, then even if you have a Shayara, which Rabbi Yehuda would say is permissible, if you have three Bnei Adam, says Rabbi Yossi, it's not permissible. It's not enough, even in the case of Shayara, to be Mekil, to allow a leniency of a Hekif Mechitzos that has either Shesi or Erev, one either or the other. But rather, we need a Mechitza, which is Shesi and Erev. It's going in both directions. Now I have a long, long discussion here about the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. What I would suggest that we do is at least get a start on it. And he says the following. Shalosh shitos b'divrei atanoim. We have three shitos that are presented here amongst the Tanoim in our Mishnah, as far as a mechitza, which is shesi and arev. In other words, where we're filling it in with empty spaces based on love. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the mechitza of this sort, whether it's Shesi or Erev, is only mutter for Shayara. According to Chachamim, even for Yochid. According to Rabbi Yossi, even in the case of Shayara, they're not going to be Matir, unless it has both Shesi and Erev. Okay. Now, the first point he makes here in the footnote is that we have to know, as a preview of a sugya later on that's coming up around the bend, that there's something called Beis HaSayim. I think we once decided that Beis HaSayim was 70 amos plus square. Anyway, it's a large area, and the Gemara is going to tell us that this machlokas that we're seeing here about a chanoya does not apply to the case of Beis HaSayim. In a Beis HaSayim, everybody agrees that one of the two is feasible, either a Mechitza Shel Shesi or Shel Erev. and that's mutter. Then he says, "V'chein l'das hakol itiru l'shayara ad beis sheish se'im." V'lo nechluku el l'inyan hakof ha'shetach gadol sheyesh bo kidei lasos called sarkon. All right. So there's a smaller area, which is less than sheish sa'im, and we'll see what that is. And if such a small area, everybody agrees that everything is mutter, meaning whether it's shasi or orev, the machlokus is going to be from sheish sa'in and on until you get to beis sa'in. Okay, now we're getting to the Ritva. The Ritva says the following: the language of Rabbi Yossi, kol mechitza, etc., is meant to tell us something. What does he mean? He says, lo nemru divrei Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Yehuda al machlekosam shel chachamim v'Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, the Mishnah should have shortened it. And it should have said the following. The formulation would have been the following: Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Yehuda omer eina machitza. He just could have rejected the shasi and the erev mechitza. It seems, says the Ritva, that Rabbi Yossi was making an independent statement. I mean, the Mishnah attached it here, but it really was a statement of Rabbi Yossi. Kol mechitza she'eino shel shasi v'shel erev eino mechitza. And this, says the Ritva, is a different machlokis. And Rebbe, when he organized the Mishnayis, he, so to speak, stooped in, he wedged in Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, as far as the machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham is concerned. Lefisha mizbar mi divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda shu cholek al shneihem. So again, I think what the Ritva is trying to establish here and trying to accomplish is that we should understand Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda independent of our machlokes about Shayora. And Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda is therefore apparently rejecting any machitza that doesn't have both Shasi and Erev. Okay, so we'll see Belineder what the repercussions of this chiddush of the Ritva is. Amrav hamnun amar rav, harei amru. Let's go back to the Mishnah on Daf Tezvav amid Beis. Omeid meruba ala parutz bishasi havi omeid, which means that the mechitzas bechitzas kshera if you have omeid meruba ala parutz, and that's a case of shasi, which, as we said before, is the case of Kanin. So what does it say in the previous mission? It says, quote, Shayara Shechansa Bibika Vikifua Klei Behema Metaltalim Besocha Ubilvad Shaloyehe Haporitz Meruba Al HaOmed. Right? Where is he setting up the hekef mechitzos of these kalim, the kalim of the behema, and whatever else he's putting there, the camels? Those are cases of shasi. Now, I'm not sure how he knows this. Let's just think again that it's a case of shasi. Because the Mishnah uses the word omed. And omeid is a reference to shasi, which means we're not talking about the case of chavolim. We're talking about a case of different objects that stand vertically, a whole bunch of different objects. And if there's no space between one and the next of lavud, then it's a valid mechitza. But boy Rav Himnuna, the Erev Mai. With the Mechitza that the Chachamim said is kosher, because it's Omed Merub al Haparutz, would that apply even in case of Erev? Erev means it's lying down towards the width. He says, Kigon, Shebesoch Gova Asara Tvachim Shel HaMechitza Yeshisha Tvachim Omed V'arba Tvachim Parutz. We're talking about within the Asara Tvachim of the Mechitza, there are six Tvachim Omed V'arba Tvachim Parutz. So can we extend the halacha of Shisi and apply it even to a mechitza of Erev? Not sure why he's asking this question. I mean, the Mishnah itself has a mechitza of Chavolin. All right. So let's just read on a little bit. Omar Abai Toshma. Let's learn our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shir Chavolin V'Ovyon Yeser Al Tefach. Why should you call Asar Tvachim? So the Mishnah itself is talking about Shisi. Oh, I see what's going on here. The question is whether you need Asar Tvachim Shleimim. Just one second, I'm just going to close the window here. Okay. Okay. So let's see what the significance is here of Shleimim. He says the following: B'toch gova asara tfachim shel mechitza, shel mechitza yeshisha tfachim omed ve'arba tfachim parts. Oh, she'ein, right? So that one side in the Suffolk of Avnun is to say that that's also a valid mechitza. Now here's the punchline. What was the logic that compelled the opposite conclusion, that Rav Avnun would say it's not a valid mechitza? Oh, she'ein omrim din ze el b'mechitzas shisi avalinia mechitzas erev tzorach shiyia begova hamechitza asara tfachim shlem. He says in the footnote, ein lifshot safek ze mi din mishna seinu shiz parba shef shel asos mechitz shel erev aydei chavolim, shekein ab mishna sekes b'she'ein bein chavolim revach shel shloshet tfachim. Ubi ofen ze nidon hachalal shebeneim kisosu mi din lovut v'nimtza shekol ha-mechitza b'chlal omed v'yen kan parts klal. All right. So what's the case of Rav Himnuna? He says, Yesh l'chalik bein din omed meruba l'aparutz. So we're talking about omed meruba l'aparutz, and he's making the following distinction. Bein mechitzas shesi l'mechitzas erev. L'fisha pirtza b'mechitzas shesi Nireis kepesach. V'alkein eina mekalkeles es hamechitza. So if you're talking about the reeds, right, in our Mishnah, the vertical mechitza, so now, if there's a pirtza, so we can view that as an opening, as an entrance. That's not a pirtza. And here, Omed Merubal Aparitz will guarantee that we have here a Pesach and not a Pirtza. Avol, but in the case of Mechitzas Erev, and now you have an opening of airspace between one level and the next. That's not a Pesach. I mean, that's not where you would create an opening. So now you have a real serious issue of a pirtza. V'alken yesh makom lehachmir b'yoser. So again, how is this different than the case of chavolim? In the case of chavolim, we have lavut. But now we're talking about a case where there's no lavut. Right, because it's parts of arba tfachim. So if it's parts of arba tfachim, and we don't have lavud, then we might view that as a pirtza. On the other hand, we have omed merubala parts. But maybe the halach of omed merubala parts only applies when you're dealing with a division or a distinction between Pesach and Pirtza, when you have a vertical opening of airspace. So then we're going to say, well, you know what? It's Omed Merubal Aparitz, and therefore it's not a Pirtza, it's a Pesach. But what happens if you have an Omed Merubal Aparitz in a case of a Mechitza that goes vertically, that goes horizontally? So what are you going to tell me? That there's a four Tfachim opening, and that you're going to call a Pesach? For whom is it a Pesach? What are you going to dive in? So that has nothing to do with our Mishnah, says Tosus, because our Mishnah, in the case of Chavolim of Erev, is talking about a situation where there's less than three Tfachim between each one of the Chavolim. And if there's less than you have Sosum because of the Halach of Lavud. But what happens in this case, where there would be a larger opening, and you have now an airspace of four tvachim, can we apply the principle of Omed Merubal Aparitz, or are we going to say, no, Omed Merubal Aparitz doesn't apply here because you have a Pirtza, you don't have a Pesach? So Omer Abai Toshma, what did Abai find in our Mishnah? Shir chavolim v'ovyon yeser al tefach sheyu akol asor tvachim I islei. If you're going to tell me that even in the case of Mechitzas Erev, we have a din of omed merubal aparitz, lomali yeser al tefach, why do you have to guarantee that the chavolim have a total thickness of a little bit more than a tefach? Li avid bepachos mishlosha. Why doesn't he just set up a distance, an open space of less than three tfachim? And now we have lavud, and the yimtach shav chevel be ovi mashahu. Let the chevel be just a small string, a very thin string. And now, what you're going to do is you're going to measure the revach of pochos mishlosha tfachim, and then v'yimtach chevel bi'ovi mashahu, and then he can have a halal of pochos mi'arba chevel mashu. Alright, so we're going to set it up in such a way that he can have a situation of amud of omed meruba ala parutz, even if there's a separation of more than three tfachim. And if that be the case, why did the Mishnah go out of its way to guarantee that you're less than three tfachim, and then we get the ten tfachim by putting up a chevel that's ovi is yeser al tefach? Again, just to understand Abai's logic, if you're going to say that you can set up a mechitza with horizontal sections based on the halacha of paritz meruvala omed, even if it's enough that the majority of the area is closed off. Is lama li yeser al tefach? Why do I need that the thickness of the rope amount to a tefach and a little bit more? Li evid pachos mishlosha. Let him set up his mechitza with less than three tefachim. V'chevel mashu. So he leaves a space between each one of the chavolim of lavud. It's pachos mishlosha v'chevel mashu. Now he has another space that's less than three tefachim. He places a rope of the slightest thickness, fine. And pachos mi'arba v'chevel mashu, leaving a space of less than four tefachim, and a rope of the slightest thickness over that too. And exactly how we're going to place these three ropes, but this case of a mechitzas erev is partially open, and it has a parutz of almost four tefachim. But since it's mostly closed, it's parutz meruba, because you have two gaps of less than three tefachim. So those are closed, and that's based on lavud. Then when we get to the third space between the third rope and the top, so now we don't need any significant thickness. And the answer is that the Mishnah apparently requires the thickness of the rope to be more than a